Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
DGS 104.1 FM KMOX. Happy Monday to everybody. We have a special guest today, Michael Kelly from Hancock & Kelly, who's been on with us a million times, texted me this morning and asked if he could come on. I said, of course, anytime.
Yeah.
Good to see you.
Good to see you.
Yeah.
I wanted to thank you and the entire team for coming out and all the way to the middle of nowhere and celebrated a surprise 50th birthday for me on Friday evening. I had no idea.
Yeah.
I've got to meet the elusive Mr. Zimmerman. And, you know, I was expecting him to be somebody I could handle. I had to look up at him.
Sure.
I was like, yes, sir. Thank you for coming and appreciate you being here. And I've never hit on your girlfriend, you know.
So if you know what we're talking about, Michael is turning 50.
I am.
And about 3 months ago, I guess, Hancock, your best friend in the world, reached out to us and said, we're going to have a big surprise party. And as I told you, at opening day, I was standing there with you and your family at opening day, and I had the words in my mouth because I didn't know it was a surprise. Hey, I can't wait for your party in Defiance. And Rach walks up and said something to me, and like, squirrel. And so I, but I almost ruined it.
Oh, really?
On opening day.
Well, let me tell you, I was completely gullible if there would have been any of those close calls. I had no clue.
Yeah.
I was completely shocked. I was traveling. Hancock and I were supposed to be going to a business event together where he and I were going to speak.
Yeah.
And it was not until I literally walked into the room. And I mean, it's in Defiance, Missouri. Sure. I would have so duped. I had no clue.
Yeah.
And the door opened and you all and so many people from my life and all my worlds were sitting there. But the first most important person I saw was my mother.
Yes.
And it blew me away. And then we had this incredible night, and it was so special. And I just wanted to come and thank you personally for coming because it meant so much to me. And you guys are all good people.
You're welcome. It meant a lot to us. Like, I was texting with Vanessa the next day, and you know, V's not the most emotional person, right? And I said, I hope you had the best time. She said, I hope you did too. And I said, being an emotional person, I said, it was just, I was so glad to be there to see that beautiful moment.
Yeah.
Like when you walked in, the thing between you and Hancock, and then you and your mom, and it was just.
It was special.
It was just great.
It was special. And then I, you know.
You gave a great speech.
Really?
Oh, yes.
Thank you.
It was wonderful.
Well, I don't know how many people were there. Maybe 150?
150?
Yeah. And so it was all aspects of my life, my political life, my personal life, my family life, my KMOX life. And so it just occurred. I had nothing prepared. It just occurred to me that these are all my individual families that have come together. And I'm a lucky dude. And I got to tell you, Dave, the 50, you went through it.
Sure
I don't
did.
Know, Kev, you've been through it, Rach. It'll happen to you at 30. I've been messed up over this one.
Yeah.
And I've never worried about a birthday. And some people, it doesn't bother. But, you know, it's like a benchmark in time that I'm like, what have I done with myself?
Yeah.
And to have that the other night was just one of the most special moments of my life. And it was super cool. And like I said, I'm intimidated by Mr. Zimmerman.
Sure. I said two things that night. I said, everyone should get a party like this at some point in their life.
Totally.
And no one does. Like, I'm not, right?
Right?
I mean, it's great that happened for you, but everyone should know that feeling.
It was such an incredible feeling of love. And, you know, and so many of you made this special attempt. You know, like, you know, this wasn't, you know, hey, come by, you know, 40 in Hampton and swing in for 10 minutes. You committed to a 45-minute drive. So it was just so special that people do that. And you're right. You know, I know you helped get the band and because they wanted to have entertainment. And you found this incredible band. And as I worked that room, you know, you connected with people. And here's two takeaways. Number one, I will always go to stuff when people invite me now.
Right.
It meant so much to me.
Yeah.
Every person was there. In fact, I'm going to a wedding out of the country now because one of the people who was at the thing said to me, are you going to come to the wedding?
Yes.
Well, of course I'm going to come to the wedding.
Now I am.
I felt that way when I was standing at my dad's casket.
Uh-huh.
I've avoided so many funerals, and every person who walked in that funeral home meant something.
Right.
And I said, I'll never not go again.
Yeah. So I've taken that and showing up. And in the business that we are all in, showing up is often tough, right? Because you're invited to a lot of things,
yeah,
both work and family wise. So that'd be the one thing. And then the other thing that I took away is that I had found myself really looking at, you know, what am I doing? Why am I not happy? What about it's made me appreciate like what really matters.
Yeah.
Is the people that love you and to enjoy it. And I have to tell you, at a time where my life was in a bit of turmoil because of this imaginary date,
sure,
it provided me some relief and sanity.
That's great.
And I'm grateful to you.
Yeah.
I'm sorry I crashed your show, too.
No,
I figured you were
going
to say something about it.
Because yeah.
How often do you all wind up out on a Friday night together? Now, Kevin was out of town.
Well, I was in town.
Coaching.
Yeah.
But, I mean, how often is it that you guys all do stuff together like that? That probably doesn't happen too often.
No.
Yeah, not often.
At one point when you came in and the big surprise and everyone's happy and laughing and crying, and I turned to Rach and I said, this is the party I wanted you to throw for me when I turned 60.
Yeah.
Rach is like, my bad.
Well, and I would be remiss if I didn't take a couple of minutes to tell you about John Hancock. And I know you got to hear it that night. But, you know, few people love you the way that they would put this much time and effort into something. And, you know, I was just a dumb punk when I skipped into this guy's life. And we've created this long-term friendship, etc., that's just beyond special. But to have really put this together, and if you know John's not really great at keeping a secret. Telephone, television, tell John Hancock, you can get it out there. And so he the fact that he pulled this off, and it was just so awesome. I know there was a ghost behind the machine there in Georgiana's wife, but I mean, who would have thought the man that I spend my entire professional life fighting, the guy I talk with on the radio that I like to have beers with, threw me the most memorable night of my life. And that's what friendship is. And even in this world where we had these horrible protests going on, and I'm not trying to be too Pollyannish, right? But people were getting assassinated, a president saying crazy things, a governor in California who's asserting crazy things. And all of this turmoil, we're showing to you that, or at least I'm living what it is that I hoped, which is that this guy's a good dude, man.
Life's weird.
And he's my best pal, and he thinks the other way. And look at this. He just threw me my greatest night of my life.
Yeah.
So.
How was Saturday for you?
It was rough.
Yeah.
Because you knew how far we had to drive. It took about 45 minutes to get out there, and then I went to the Dave Matthews concert.
Yeah.
So my friend kind of described it as, you know how when a plane starts to land, you know, and you may have that, sometimes you just got to put some more fuel in it to keep it going.
Yeah.
So they took me to lunch coming back from the car to keep me going all the way to Dave Assey. This isn't it. I pretty much missed the entire Sunday. I had some snooze time.
That's good. Well, you're almost 50 now.
At least you made it here today. Yeah. Wait another 5 years.
How does 50 hit you? I know, like, because you and I have talked about it and we both have our mental health struggles.
Right.
We're open and vulnerable about it. But the number, how does it hit you?
Not as bad as it did.
Good.
But it look, if you're lucky, you get to live to 100. So you're more than halfway through this game, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then I think there's an extra thing that comes with being single and without kids, because, you know, so many of my friends are putting their kids into college, or, you know, my own peers are taking care of their parents in their final years of life. And it really makes you internalize that stuff for yourself. So, but the other night really was a nice wipe off of the dry erase board for me
in terms of
what I needed to think about.
Yeah.
So that was cool.
Yeah.
But 50 doesn't scare me now.
Good.
What about you?
Every decade is weirder and harder. I really try to focus on one of these days you're going to look back and would give anything to be 60 again. you know? So I'm embracing it as much as I can. But it's just weird knowing, like, I feel like I've got 15 good years.
Mm-hmm.
Good, solid, pretty much like this years.
Right.
After that, you're on borrowed time.
Right.
I mean,
yeah. And you talk to people like, I don't know, you know, older folks in their 70s. And look, you can live to be 100 now. But sometimes people will jolt me and they'll be like, yeah, that's probably the last time I'll go to Los Angeles. And mm-hmm. you're like, what? Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I never looked at life that way.
You know?
Yeah,
I know.
So I'm trying not to think that way.
Right.
Rach, I know I gave your boyfriend a trouble the other day, but I was so grateful that you guys came.
It was so nice to be invited. I was so glad we went. Kurt was so happy to be there. Yeah. And he turned to me at one point. He goes, who put this together? And I'm like, John Hancock put it together. Because we watch you guys every Sunday. And I'm always like, they're such good friends. They're so cute together. It's such like an amazing relationship. And he got to see like up close how close you guys actually are. The fact that he would put that together for you and keep it a secret for so long, it was very touching and just very sweet to be a part of that moment.
Well, and you get to experience this all the time, but people, you know, the sure sign of like you've made it, Dave Glover was at your event.
And right.
The amount of mayors and senators coming up to me going, was that Dave Glover? I'm like, yeah, you gotta go over and talk to him.
It was like a who's who. Yeah. Like I kept looking around like, is that this person?
Oh, it was.
It was really cool to be there.
It was. It really was. Johnny Rogers came up and said hello. That was
yes.
nice.
John Rogers, who is just one of the most superb men you'll meet in St. Louis.
Yeah.
Not to mention what he does as an attorney.
So we were all together for Father's Day yesterday, and I was trying to kind of brag to Phoebe because Phoebe is interning with John's law firm because that's where my friend Noel Sebastianos is.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, yeah, I ran into John Rogers, your senior partner, and XYZ. And Maureen goes, I know him really well. My pledge sister was his girlfriend or something like this in college.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, great, one upped on Father's Day.
Take that, Dad.
By the way, Phoebe, if you see the Smurfs out there somewhere, because the Smurf movie is coming up, and a bunch of mascot anthropomorphic Smurfs, Papa Smurf is Phoebe Glover.
Really?
Yes, because she fit the costume.
Really?
Yes. And she had a rough one yesterday. little gamey inside the suit. The pretty heavy suit. She's a tiny little girl.
And where is this at?
It was all over the place. Yesterday they were at Union Station.
Uh-huh.
Then they took them to the Arch. And it's really hard to walk in these things.
I bet.
So they had to like take the van and you can't really see very well. And they're at the Arch and it's 85
degrees.
It's
almost like transporting a hostage.
It is.
They can't see anything. Yeah, like, where are we going?
It is. She said they're all just in the back of this van just crashing into each other.
Has it changed your thought process now when you see Fredbird or other people in costumes?
Yeah.
That like, that could be thieves.
Those guys are no joke.
It's a running family joke that she was invited to try out to be Baby Jay, the Jayhawk, at KU, once again, because she's 5 foot nothing. And I really wanted her to, because the deal is you can't tell anyone. And then when you graduate, you wear the feet.
Uh-huh.
And people are like, oh, my God, you're Baby Jay.
Oh, okay.
So being a narcissist, I think that's cool. So I want to make her do it. And all my mascot dreams went out the window yesterday. She's like, yeah.
I'm not Baby Jay.
Guess who's not going to be Baby Jay.
But I'm Papa Smurf.
Sorry to crush your dreams, Father.
But they're paying her a fortune.
I bet.
A fortune.
I bet.
Yeah.
Share that number with me. I may want to go walk around as Superman for a while.
He's going to be like the first 8 foot tall Smurf.
We love you, buddy.
Thanks for having
me.
We
love you.
I really mean it. That was such a commitment. Grateful. Just me.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
DGS 124. Zachary says, like the Peoria Chiefs jersey, Dave, thank you. Like to represent.
It looks very nice on you.
Thank you.
It's like it's the perfect fit. It looks like you got it tailored or something.
Wow.
It's a good one.
It's fancy.
Wow. I feel like Michael Kelly.
I feel like Michael Kelly on his 50th birthday surprise.
Speech. Speech.
Let me just start with the shirt.
I owe it all to the shirt.
So I had a great weekend, great Father's Day weekend. Had Michael Kelly on Friday. On Saturday, Nick and his girlfriend Brie are really into this monthly wrestling at the South Broadway Athletic Club. And I've been hearing about it. And this guy, Moondog. And so I went. And it's so much fun. It's so much fun. I mean, it's wrestling, right? So you know what you're in for. But it was really impressive. The wrestlers were way better than I thought. Crowd was super into it. They sell $2 Busch Light drafts. I mean, it's just like, it's everything you want.
That sounds fun.
Yeah. And at one point, I got up to go to the bathroom, and I walked by these guys who were in their 20s, and one guy goes, "Dude, this is totally fake." Like, wow. Thanks, Sherlock.
You cracked the code.
Yeah, you're the only one who knows that. Keep that under your belt.
Why don't you give it a new name while you're at it? That's what all those Gen Zers do.
Right.
Gonna rename a thing that was already a thing.
How was your respective weekends?
Very nice. Pretty chill.
Same as all of them. A lot of time at the ballpark.
Same as all.
Which was good, though. No, I like that. I enjoy doing that.
Had dinner with my dad for Father's Day.
Nice.
Got a steak at Tucker's.
Can't beat that.
That's our spot.
Surprise, you can get in.
You win.
Made some ribs.
We went right when they opened to kind of beat the crowd. Mm. So it was very, very nice.
Made ribs. They were very yummy.
I wrote down the dumbest thing I've ever written down on my show sheet. I was in the zone deeply. And I got the thought, what if we all just woke up one day? Because I was watching a trailer for a movie where someone wakes up and the world has changed. And I thought, what if we just all woke up one day and everyone was talking baby talk?
But you're not?
But no, I am. But then it was.
No, I mean, like, if we don't do it, but everybody else is, or you're.
No, everyone
like,
is.
Okay.
I'm the same way.
Okay.
I'm like, me want Milky. And but then my thought was, once we realize this is just how we talk now, would we change the spelling of words? Like, would grammar change? Would we read novels in baby talk? And I wrote this down in my show sheet, like, the people are going to love this.
This is funny.
This is going to be great.
We could go back to the DGS baby talk era, the infamous era where we were all
sliding
into baby.
Yeah, people love that one. How did that even start?
I don't know. It happened one day. Like, it was the Close and Tony era for sure.
Yeah. Mm.
And it just happened. I don't know.
I remember
baby talk time.
Tony especially leaning into it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good times.
Like the tone, too, not just the...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, you're, well, if you're going like to do it, you got to do it all the way.
Like you're having a business meeting, mm-hmm. and you're like, oh, you hurt me feelings, you know. But no one's like, quit being a baby. Objection overruled.
Dave sounded kind of like Jar Jar.
Yeah, that was a little Jar Jar-ish. Misa no like that.
The things I could have done with my life if I didn't think about things like this. We had a listener today, not calling him out. I'm sure he's a very nice person, but a guy named Glenn who said, I can't listen to the show anymore. It's way too political. It's not as fun as it used to be. And I'm like, what show are you listening to? Like, we get crap from other people like, this show's so stupid. All you do is talk about pooping. And you know, it's like.
Well, they are kind of one and the same.
I was
going
to say it can be both, but I guess that's the.
They are kind of the same
thing.
The
beauty thing. Of the show.
The beauty and the problem of the show.
Which is we do say a lot of things like, I don't want a military parade.
Which is more juvenile at the moment, the world of politics or poop jokes?
Easy. You want me to do this or wait?
Yes, please.
Yes, the bad news. News. 135. Robert says, would you do your next live with baby talk?
No.
I mean, that might get a little too weird.
I think they would appreciate it less.
You all have fun with that. I don't even do baby talk to babies.
Let's just get this over with. because now that it's in my head, like, you're so political, but we talk about the world here. Like, you know, like, I met someone at Michael Kelly's thing who knew my name but didn't know the show, and anytime someone says, what's the show about? And I feel so stupid because I'm like, everything? Nothing? Like, but it really, truly, truly is. But we talked about the military parade on Friday, and I have to say that, and this is not Trump. This is not Trump derangement syndrome. I don't think that Trump put this together. I don't think he's an event planner. But on Friday, Wheel said something to the effect of, if you're going to do a North Korean style sort of military parade, you better bring the noise. It better be impressive and intimidating and scary. And I watched a lot of it on Saturday, and it was anything but. It was just underwhelming. Did you see much of it, Rach?
Yeah, I watched a good chunk of it.
I mean, did you agree? Did it hit you? It just hit me, like, and I don't want jackbooted North Korean, you know, that's not what I'm looking for in my country, but no one marched. Everyone was just walking. They're just walking.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a little reluctant to speak about it because I don't know what I'm talking about, but I understand.
Never stops me.
I understand what you're saying. I don't want that either. I don't want a North Korean style military parade. But when it comes to like what they're pulling off in those parades versus what we pulled off, it was just two very different vibes.
Very different.
I was more just struck by it didn't seem like a large crowd turned out for it.
Yeah.
And it just felt, I wasn't like, oh yeah, nobody showed up just like they should have.
Either.
It wasn't like that at all.
No, but it's my country.
But it was just the kind of thing where it's like, well, this is supposed to be a big to-do.
Kind of
did
womp,
they
womp.
Pull it off? I don't think they necessarily did.
Yeah. And on the other side of it, and it's not a tit for tat, it's not a zero-sum game, it just happened to fall on the same day. Well, it didn't happen to fall on the same day. They did the No Kings protest because of this. Seemed to be really big. It's, I think, the third or the seventh, which I know are not next to each other, but I heard it today, largest protest in the history of the country.
There was a huge crowd out here just outside our building.
That's
in St.
I heard.
Louis. I saw a ton of pictures like on Reddit and on Twitter, people marching, and I, as far as I know, didn't have any issues here in St. Louis with the protests, so.
Interesting weekend for that.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk some baseball. We have Bernie Miklas coming up in about an hour from now, so we'll get deep into the Cardinals with Bernie. But I have some questions for you, Wheels.
All right.
Walk me through the whole thing with Contreras and blocking first base and picking the ball up that hit him and handing it to him and like.
Yeah. So if you saw the play, seemed pretty routine, right? Contreras caught the ball. And then after he caught the ball, as he was stepping off the bag to throw the ball around the infield, his back foot, he stepped backward a little bit into the line, and then the runner, Durbin, slammed into him, fell to the ground, and got up, and he was clearly pissed.
Yeah.
And the first base coach kind of got in between him and calmed it down, but then the Brewers dugout was yelling at Chip Contreras. In particular, their first baseman, Rhys Hoskins, was yelling at him. Because that can be a thing that somebody does on purpose, right? That he didn't. It would be stupid to do it there. There was really nothing going on before that would lead to that. But that's the kind of thing that a first baseman, if they were trying to be dirty, could do. Just kind of like catch you off guard at the last second with a little drop step. I haven't seen a big leaguer do that ever. Because for the most part, you're not getting dirty like that.
Mm-hmm.
And secondly, it's also risky for that guy because you might get spiked.
Yeah.
You know, you might get something twisted up too. So, they were on him, though, because it was clearly his mistake. And they're right. He did. He goofed up.
Yeah.
He didn't do it on purpose. It may be just the lack of experience playing there, and he just wasn't as aware of where his foot was as he should be. And then, I don't know if you caught it, Dave, but there was a little section there. The next inning, Rhys Hoskins got hit by a pitch, and he's on first base. First of all, he was pretty upset that he was hit.
Did that seem intentional?
I didn't think so. But you never know, I guess. But then Hoskins was on first base, and he and Contreras, you could see them talking. And at one point, the camera catches Hoskins saying, it doesn't matter if it wasn't on purpose. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So his point is, you did something. Let's just put it this way. This is Hoskins' view. We believe you didn't do it on purpose, but you did something stupid.
Negligent.
And that's why we're barking at you, because you can't do that, essentially. And then when Contreras comes up the next time, he gets drilled. clearly intentional.
Yes.
Clearly intentional. And he just, I loved how he went and picked up the ball and handed it to Kentucky.
I wonder what you thought of that.
There's two ways to read that. That could be, okay, Weenie, didn't hurt, whatever.
We're cool now, right?
Right. Or, all right, you got me.
Yeah.
It's over.
Yeah.
We're done. Could be read either way. Considering that the Contreras brothers were literally standing feet apart, it's probably the second one. It's probably like, all right, I get it. You sent your message. It's over. And he went to first base, and it was basically inconsequential for the rest of that game.
Until he hit the home run.
Until he hit the home run and dogged it. It took him 29 seconds to round the bases. And he was definitely making a point. He was definitely making a point. And actually, I thought the greater point there was Nolan Gorman's home run, which came right after the hit by pitch. Right. So Quintana hits him, and then Gorman comes up a couple batters later, hits a 3-run bomb and blows the game open. Mm-hmm. I thought that was a great like punch in the face. Take that, big boy. Tom and I was tweeting about it, and I got the quote wrong. But remember the audio. My favorite Mike Shannon highlight is when Kerry Wood threw up and in on Albert. And then the next pitch, Albert hit it about 900 feet for a home run. And Shannon's call is just the greatest. He's like, take a whiff of that, big boy. And that's what we were both thinking of. And Tom got the quote right, but we were out kind of posting that on a text thread and all that. But it had that feel to it. Like Gorman hit this bomb and is like, all right, take that, dude. You want to be super petty and drill somebody over a mistake that got nobody hurt, by the way. Then that's how, this is how you handle it. You handle it by doing something on the field and beating the other team. And then Contreras homered later. And then his brother homered. And his brother went around the bases even slower than he did. So I thought that last part, to me, that was funny. Mm-hmm. I don't understand why Quintana didn't get thrown out of the game.
Hmm.
20 years ago, there's no way he would have been thrown out of that game. Because back then, there has to be a warning first. All that has to happen now is an umpire has to think that it was intentional. And their instruction from Major League Baseball is if you think it was intentional, eject the player. There's no question that it was intentional. I understand what old school baseball justice is, but that is different than the way these are enforced now. And I thought the umpires should not have let that go because that's the kind of thing that escalates the situation. If you're going to let that go and then put the warning on, so now the Cardinals don't get to hit someone, right? So now they got their free shot over an innocent mistake that didn't get someone hurt. I thought that was a little weird. Not controversy worthy, right? Not something you should rage about. But I didn't like the handling of it based on the way that Major League Baseball has handled intentional drillings in the last 5 to 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
This did not fit those previous examples from the last 5 to 10 years. They are told now, if you think it's on purpose, eject the pitcher. And it was clearly on purpose. Clearly.
Can you do the Rafael Devers in 3 minutes?
Sure. I don't know if you guys, did we talk about it on the show, the Devers thing in Boston?
Yes.
So, for people that missed it, but Devers is their superstar. He is their $30 million a year, $250 million contract guy. He's an all-star. He's an MVP candidate. He's one of the best hitters in baseball. And in the spring, the Red Sox signed Alex Bregman, and he's a third baseman. And Devers was their third baseman, but he's a bad defender, terrible defender. So they went to ask him to move to DH, and he refused, and there was this big thing. He finally gave in on that. And then when their first baseman got hurt, they went to him and like, would you play some first base? Because we could use it there now. And he was like, nope, not doing it under any circumstance. And this all blew up. And he called out the front office, and he made a big deal out of it. And then yesterday, they traded him. So they traded Boston traded a superstar hitter, essentially just to get him out of the clubhouse. And the trade that the stuff they got in return was fine, but it didn't fit the talent of the
Jordan
guy they're
Hicks
giving up.
Is probably their best one.
He's the money piece.
Yeah.
They threw him in to get rid of money on the San Francisco side.
Mm.
But they got a young pitcher, Kyle Harrison, who's kind of their Quinn Matthews.
Oh, they were paying Hicks a lot of money?
Yeah, he's making like $12 million a year.
Doing
$13
what?
Million. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. He'll be in the bullpen now, which is where he belongs. San Fran was starting him, and it was a disaster, just like we found out it would be here. But they gave up a couple of good young prospects, their first round pick from last year. So that would be J.J. Weatherholt type player for the Cardinals. The lefty Kyle Harrison is kind of their Quinn Matthews. So a couple of higher level guys, but you would think you'd get more for a 28-year-old superstar.
Yeah.
But to me, the big takeaway from a St. Louis perspective is this sucks for the Cardinals because the Giants just got a lot better. And they're already a playoff. And I don't just mean for this year. This guy's on a 6 or 7 year contract, still 8 years left on his deal.
Yeah.
So the Dodgers are already a machine. The Cubs are obviously good and have all the money in the world. The Braves are good and built for the long term. The Mets are a big money team. And now the Giants, who have always been a money team but have failed to get stars, they now have a superstar. And they're already in contention. The National League got tougher with this trade. That's a tough move for everybody in the National League. But obviously that impacts the Cardinals, and not just this year, but in the coming years. So in other words, I guess what I'm saying is you better try to start working toward winning divisions and not counting on wild cards, because the wild card spots are going to be tough.
In Chicago,
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Rich, what's the thing about graduation applause?
So there was a kindergarten graduation. Somewhere.
Of course there should be.
Can we stop with that?
I don't know. I had a kindergarten graduation back in 1996.
Did you?
Or whenever
I did
it was.
Too.
Yeah. It was very fun. I mean, I get why people like to do it. It's congratulating kids on typically their first year of school, what have you. And everybody looks super cute in their little caps and gowns. But they had a rule that you could only clap once per child.
I mean, like clap.
Yeah, like a single clap. Like little Dave Glover's receiving his diploma now, and everyone just goes,
hmm.
And the reasoning behind it was kind of, well, let's see how you guys feel about it. One was to save time. They don't want a ton of applause dragging on.
I know
on.
Where you're going to go.
The other is some kids might receive more applause than others, and they didn't want to make anyone feel bad.
Good. You know when a good time to learn that is? Kindergarten.
When you're receiving a diploma for finishing kindergarten.
Yes.
Yes.
Because that's the way it is. Guess what, kid? Your entire life, you're going to get more or less applause. Applause in quotes, because it could be marriage, it could be your job, it could be your health, but nothing is fair. And I don't think you need to grab a 2-year-old and be like, look, life sucks.
But it is an interesting question, like if you are going to shield your child's child from the harsh realities of life, at what point do you stop shielding them? Or do you shield them all the way through college graduation? Everyone's allowed one clap at college, and then suddenly you're in the big bad world, and you have to figure things out.
I think I don't say this very often. I think that is some putrid woke BS. We're going to clap once.
Can I just say, though, how about this? Why is it so hard to say we will clap at the end so that we can get through this without delays? Because you've seen it. I've seen it. I saw it in high school and in college, where some person's name gets read and their whole family loses their minds for 5 minutes while some other kid's name is getting talked over because you won't stop making noise. Why can't we just do it all at the end and then congratulate your own child when you're talking to your own child? Have a party. Why did we get to the point where we've got to disrupt an entire proceeding so you can scream for your kid while everyone else is just waiting to hear their kid's name called?
Have you seen the jackass antics that people are doing now when they graduate, especially from college, where they
backflips and stuff?
Yes. Like dancing and crazy and screaming and throwing money. And it's like,
I saw a video the other day of a kid walked across stage and he was dancing, and the principal was like, no, go back over there and walk over here like normal, and then I'll give you the diploma.
Good.
I don't mind if it's like as they're off the stage and they're just like dancing and happy, but let's calm it down.
Yeah.
Like, we don't need to stop the show. You're not the star.
Another thing you need to learn.
You're not the star
Another
of the show.
Another thing you need to learn.
This is a cast.
Yes.
Every cast member is equal in this. Let's not, you're not the star.
Yeah, there was a TikTok about it, and it was very bizarre to hear, little Adeline, you're up next, and then clap.
I don't like that. That feels weird.
That's worse than no clapping at all. But you should just not clap at all.
Yeah. Just like, hey, can we, to keep this moving and get you all out of here faster, we're going to ask everybody just applaud at the end because then this will be simpler. And it, like, and you know the problem is if you do that, there are going to be people that just won't do it.
One of the longest nights of my life, and Nick knows this, was when he graduated from the college school, this private, alternative, delightfully weird school. And he had 30 kids in his graduating class, and they each gave like a 10-minute speech.
What's the point of that?
Oh, ruining your life. That was the point of it. Making you wish you weren't alive.
I don't know. I think we've made all of those. Like, our graduation from high school was a big deal. Super serious, super formal. I didn't love that as a student. I thought it was boring.
Yeah.
But it wasn't like 9 hours long, and it wasn't chaos.
Yeah.
And as a parent, I would appreciate that. That we're going to do this. We're going to honor every person. We're going to keep it moving. We're not going to be here for 7 hours.
Did I ever tell you about my graduation? My class, and I was not, but my class was one of the best classes to come through my high school in decades. Like, you're going to state in every sport and state champion wrestlers and academics through the roof. The class before mine, 1981, I'm looking at you, we're just criminals. And so they set off fireworks during the graduation. And so our year, they said, your parents are going to sit with you. And so we're doing our rehearsal, and Colin Kirby, this kid who is not very popular, in the middle of it, got up and walked out. And so we all walked out. And so our parents all said, we're not going to do it. And so they sat us next to strangers, next to every graduate. They had two empty chairs, and I graduated sitting next to two people I'd never met.
It's really bizarre.
Isn't that weird?
What's weirder than that? That or one clap?
They're similar. They're similar.
I can't get over like the weirdness of that. So like Johnny Smith.
That's all you get, Johnny.
Jill Jones.
And like, for some people,
that just seems
for
odd.
Some people, the single clap's going to be louder. You know, there's going to be popular kids.
Somebody's going to be like,
there's going to be nobody kids. It's the way it's always been.
If you're, I don't think you should be all that worried about it.
No.
But if you are, just, hey, everybody, let's just do this. We're going to go through this. There's only 24 kids in the class.
Right.
It's only going to take a few minutes. Let's applaud at the end. Thank you.
Everything I've learned, if I've learned one thing in my 25-year career, hosting almost 1,000 events, playing 700 band gigs, here's what I've learned. You listening? Everything is too long.
Keep it moving.
Everything goes on twice as long as it should. Fundraisers. People don't want to come. People don't want to come to your event. They'd rather just write you a check. So don't punish them when they get there with all of your stupid crap that only you care about.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.